My name is Grete, G-R-E-T-E, Albert, A-L-B-E-R-T, and my knee name was Vass, H-V-A-S-S. My father was a twin, and his name was Franz, F-R-A-N-T-S. That's where my son has his name from. His twin brother, my father's twin brother, was Tyge, T-Y-G-E, and he was an architect. Came to, oh, what should I say now? He built the Danish pavilions around in several places, and among one was here in New York City in year 39. And he became an honorable citizen. As a matter of fact, they gave him the key to the New York City because of that. He went back to Denmark and has since died.
Now, where were you born in Denmark?
I was born in Copenhagen.
You any specific area?
Yes. Let me see. Havnegade. Havnegade. I was born in a little clinic, of course, but then brought home to our home in Havnegade. That's why I love the water. It's right smack on the water.
Uh-huh.
And when I was 4 years old, my parents went to Finland. My father was an engineer.
What was your father's name?
Franz Vass, H-V-A-S-S.
Right.
We came to Finland, and the war, the revolution between Russia and Finland broke out shortly after. And we had a very... We had a lovely childhood there. We were four children. We had a little island where we spent 3 months every summer. My father commuted from there to his office in Helsinki by a little motorboat. Tuff, 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 tuff. He went. when the revolution broke out, we had to go away. We had to flee. We left, and it was a very dramatic flight back. We went by sleigh all the way up to the northern part of Finland, Haparanda, and we left everything behind. Came back to Denmark, and the family was there. So we children didn't suffer. We had a marvelous time. We thought it was all fun. But my poor father and mother, of course, had left everything behind them, and my father was really... what you would say, heartbroken. And he died very shortly after, as a young, only 43, I believe he was, left my mother with four children.
Now, you mentioned the four children. What were the names of your brothers and sisters?
Well, let's see. My sister's name is Kirsten, K-I-R-S-T-E-N, and another sister, Ella, A-L-L-A, and a little brother, Franz Ludwig, F-R-A-N-T-S, L-U-D-V-I-G. He has died. He worked in the underground during the war in Denmark, and that ruined his health, so he died. And we came back to Denmark, and shortly after, of course, I met my husband, Knud.
How did you meet him?
Oh, I met him at a party. I was engaged to somebody else, but I fell in love with this fellow.
So fast?
Very fast, right away.
Right.
And got rid of the other one. And I married Knud. And, well, we've been married 45 years, and I hope for some more.
Do you think it will last?
I think he'll keep me for a few more years if I behave. But when Knud left Denmark, he left me behind for a little while. And we had sold our house, and I moved into the Palace Hotel with my son in Copenhagen. And Knud wrote to me, "Don't come, you won't like it." And I wrote back, "I am coming." And he wrote back, "Don't." But then finally, I had made up my mind I was going to go to be with him. I'd never been away from him. When he traveled, I went along wherever he went. So at that time, you could not get out of Denmark unless you had a certain reason. You see, it was just after the war. We spent all the years in Copenhagen during the war. And my uncle at that time was director for the foreign ministry. I mean, he later became the ambassador. But I thought he could help me. So my mother went and asked him if he could help me a little bit. And he said, I can't do anything for her. She has no business of going to America. But I'll try. So he tried very much, and I cried, and he tried. And then after a few weeks, I was called by the embassy that I could come up and swear if I would go to America, I could only stay 30 days and then leave the United States. And I would swear on anything. So I swore. And then I had no money. You could only take $50 with you at that time. So I thought, oh, we have money. I go to the bank because one of my ancestors was the founder of the Danish National Bank. So I thought, of course I'll get some money, my own money. And after a long period, I got into the bank director. You know, it's very difficult in Denmark to talk to the top president of the bank. So finally, when he saw me, he said, well, what do you think? Who do you think you are? Why should you have more money? So he gave me $50 to take along to America. And he said, that's for the first night. And that was it. And then I cabled Knut and said, I'm coming, regardless. So Knut wrote back or cabled back, take first class for a long time, because he knew that this was going to be difficult. So I had the luxurious cabin on, was it Pulaski? Yes, that was Pulaski. It was a pole, Batory. And my cabin looked like a funeral home because all the flowers from everybody, and we have a picture of my mother and all her friends standing waving to us. And I was so sick all the time, the way over, by nerves, I guess, so I could just as well have been down in a little third-class dump. And the doctor, the ship doctor, came, and he shook his head, and he said, she's very sick. Well, I lost weight, of course, but finally we arrived in New York, and my son, he was up on the deck, and he came down and said, get up, mother. Fire standing there. And Fire stood there shaking his hand at us. He wasn't too happy. But I guess he was happy after all when he saw us. And then we went to a hotel, of course, and we had to have two rooms. And we really didn't have much money, as you know, $50. So Knut had a little bit. And then life started. And then I realized what I had done. You know, I sat in Central Park and looked at the bums picking up old papers from the garbage can, and I thought, what in the world am I into here? And then I could only stay 30 days. Well, on my way over, I stood next to a very lovely young lady, and we both compared notes. And when she realized who I was, my name, she said, oh, your father once did something for my father we will never forget. I don't know what it was. And she said, my brother is the general consul in Montreal. I'm going to write to him. He'll get you back to America quick. She did. I don't know what she wrote. She sent him a letter. And when I came to New York, I had a letter from Montreal to come to the embassy there. So after, when the 30 days were over, my son and I went by train up to Montreal, and the consul met me and helped me so I could come back on a visa at that time. So you see how things worked out. Fantastic. And then, of course, you heard the rest of our life, haven't you?
Great. And now you came here, and you were living in a hotel. You had no money, but you had a husband and a child. What did you do? How did you get a home? How did you get settled?
Well, finally, we decided to live in Princeton, as Knut has told. And we had seen an ad in the paper that an apartment was for rent in a house. So we went to Princeton and called this number, and the lady said, yes, you still had the apartment empty. Would we come right away? So we went. And when she opened the door, she said, oh, I'm sorry, I just rented it. And I started to cry and said, why did you do that? she said, come in, come in, come in. She was afraid I was going to make a scene there. And when she talked to her, she said, you know, my next door neighbor, she's going to Bermuda. Maybe she'll rent her house. So she called her up, and I heard she said, oh, yes, they're very nice. So she came in, and she said, I'm going to Bermuda, and you could rent my house. Would you come over and see it? It was a lovely house with 5 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms and butler's pantry and whatnot. So we took it. But we got it for a very, very reasonable price. We could just manage that. And she could only let her have it for 2 months, because then she was coming back from Bermuda. So Knut commuted to New York, and he had met a very nice man, did not know what he really was doing, but talked to him on the train. And one day he said, how is Grete? And Knut said, she's not very well, because we don't know where to go. You couldn't rent a room or a house or an apartment in Princeton at that time. It was right after the war. So next day he said, I have something for you. There is an apartment, a garden apartment that belongs to New York Life Insurance Company, an old estate with lovely garden apartments. There's an apartment for you. He happened to be the president of New York Life Insurance.
Incredible.
And he is our best friend today, of course. We went over there. It was a very small apartment, and I said, I couldn't live here. It's just a closet. Knut said, take it easy. It's just for a few months. We lived there 27 years.
Now, was that apartment furnished, or did you
no,
have to furnish it?
No, there was not a thing in it. So Knut had a certain amount of money, and he said to me, you go to New York and buy what you think we need, and this is all I have. So I went in, and I was still a very, what would you call it, spoiled brat. And I went into Macy's, and I asked for a buyer. She followed me, and the first thing I bought was beautiful glasses, $6 a piece. Can you see what kind of a brat I was? I didn't know better. So, and then I bought blankets and sheets and mattresses and kitchenware. Wedgwood china. And what else? I saw some lovely material I thought would be good for curtains. It was silk and striped, and I bought a lot of that. And then there wasn't more money left, so I went home. And 2 days after, we got the notice that the railroad strike was on, so they couldn't ship anything. So Knut, he called them and said, we have nothing to sleep on. Could you please do something? Yes, they would send the mattresses and the blankets. But that's all we had for 6 weeks. We didn't have anything. So good friends brought a little pot and a pan and a glass and two chairs. And we lived on that. And we had wonderful friends. They really were marvelous. So that's the way it was. We didn't have a car. So then it happened that Knut finally had a certain amount of money. And he said, no, you go look for a car. And I had seen a beautiful Packard, light blue with leather inside, it smells so good. And I said, that's the car I want. And I went in and I said, how much is that? Asked how much is that car? And it was exactly the amount Knut had given me. That was our car. They're beautiful Packard. It was secondhand, of course. But isn't it fantastic?
Yeah. Now, you brought a 15-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Can you give me some idea as to whether it was difficult for him or not difficult for him to make himself feel at home in a new country?
Yes, it was difficult in some way. He was brought up to be very polite and take his hat off for the teachers and get up when they talk to him. And the boys, even if it was a very lovely school, Lawrenceville School, they did not go for that. They beat him up because he was too polite. But he was a very good student. He didn't have to work very hard. He was a day student. He came home every night, every afternoon. So then Princeton, that was easy for him, too. He got used to it.
One year
after, excuse me, 1 year after he began to think about Denmark, everything was better over there. So Knut said, why don't you go back and see? So he went back. We sent him back 1 year just for a trip. And he came back and he said, all my friends, they're just kids. They don't know anything. So he had grown up, you see.
Now, your son is married and has a children. Do you feel that your grandchildren have any feeling for their Danish heritage? Or has that sort of become washed out through the years?
No. They've been over to Denmark. They've been over there twice. And they stayed 3 months last year there. And they love everything about Denmark. They're very much interested in everything from Denmark.
In their talking with you, what are the things that they found in Denmark that they seem to recall the most often or with the greatest emotion?
The beauty of the country, really. That is what they talk a great deal about.
Now, I understand that you have, while your husband has not gone back to Denmark, you have gone back to Denmark. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
I went back to be with my mother. She was 70 years old, so I went back for that reason. But I also felt that my life had changed so much. I had very little in common with my former friends over there. They were still living the same way, and I had seen so much after I had come over here, and it opened up my eyes for... See, I had just been with one type of people, and then suddenly I realized how other people lived. So I felt that I belonged over here and not in Denmark.
Now, you have been in Carmel for a period. You might tell us how long you have been in Carmel. Would you tell us what made you actually decide on Carmel?
We've been in Carmel a few times when we come out to California to visit our son. And we come down here, and I always thought it was a lovely spot. And we were here in July. And then we suddenly realized that why in the world are we not living where we want to live? So we went back to Princeton and called the movers and said, this is it. We're going to go back and live the rest of our life in Carmel.
And you have no regrets? You feel at home here?
Not whatsoever. I miss my friends. But they will come out here. I miss them, but I don't miss Princeton. I hated the climate. I didn't feel well there. It's humid in the summer and it's cold in the winter. And air conditioned, I loathe it.
Now, you said earlier that you were born on Havnegade, which literally means the street by the harbor, and that you love the water. Of course, you have water here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you take advantage of the where you live here? What do you do here in Carmel?
Oh, I take a walk on the beach every single day. And I walk all the time. I don't use the car unless it's necessary.
What else are you doing here?
I'm interested in art. And Princeton, Carmel has so much to offer. And Monterey, the museum. And I'm also interested in the hospital. I used to do volunteer works for the hospital in Princeton for drug addicts, alcoholics, mentally disturbed people. And I am going to, when I'm ready, I'm going to do the same thing here at the community hospital.
So you have no trouble keeping busy here?
Oh, no, certainly not. And I read. Day is long enough for all the things you want to do.
Now, you read both in Danish and English.
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. So you're getting books from Denmark as well as books?
Mostly I read English.
I see.
Yes, unless there's something special, I read it in Danish. I have an uncle who has published a book. So I, of course, read that in Danish, but otherwise I read English.
Do you take any Danish language newspapers or magazines?
Not anymore.
You
we used to take some Danish magazines, but not anymore. No.
Now, we happen to know that you are members, or are going to be members, of the American Scandinavian Foundation. Do you belong to any other associations that would put you in contact with Scandinavians?
No, we don't. No.